Hello, this is the Monticello Party Line. Laurie Parker, operator.
Laurie, would you call Mr. Hunter's office at school, please?
Why, Christy, hello.
Hello, Laurie.
Oh, what's the matter? You sound so strange.
Do I? I didn't mean to.
Well, is something wrong?
No, not that I know of.
But Christy, you don't sound like yourself.
Well, I'm not sure I feel exactly like myself. I'll tell you about it some other time, Laurie. But would you see if Mr. Hunter's in his office, please?
Why, of course. Is it Mr. Hunter now? I thought you were calling him David.
Oh, please, Laurie. I'll tell you about it some other time.
All right. Just a minute, please. There you are, Christy.
Thanks, Laurie.
Hello?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes? Oh, yes, this is Mr. Hunter, Miss Warren.
I would just like to tell you, Mr. Hunter, that I'm sorry I'll have to break our engagement for the lecture.
You what? I didn't hear you, Christy.
Well, will you listen carefully then, please? Miss Warren regrets that she will have to cancel her engagement with Mr. Hunter to attend the lecture at Urbana. Did you hear that then?
Yes, of course, but... Oh, Christy, what's wrong? You sound so...
Undoubtedly, unless you go to the lecture anyway, you'll be able to find someone with whom to play horseshoes and make some other interesting wager. Goodbye.
Well, Christy. Listen, Christy, hello. Well, I'll be...
And that was the sequel to Curly's unhappy slip of the tongue yesterday when he told Christy Warren the story about the horseshoe pitching match and the penalty David Hunter had to pay for losing the game to Carlton Ross. The penalty, as we all know, was that he must call Christy Warren, with whom he was on the unfriendliest of terms at the time, and ask her for a date. The date turned out happily, however, and David forgot his resentment of Miss Warren. In fact, he forgot it so completely that he asked her to attend a lecture with him over to Urbana. An engagement sadly canceled just now. In a moment, we'll hear more of this story. But first, party liners, how many of you listening to me right now are over 50 years of age? Well, do you feel 50? Do you still feel like singing the party line song with us, or like whistling when the sun shines brightly on a wintry morning? Well, you should, because 50 is no age at all. That is, if you've lived right, if you've observed the rules of regularity in eating, sleeping, and in regular elimination... Unfortunately, though, we're all rather weak. We all have bad habits of one kind or another, and one of our most common faults is to neglect a condition of sluggishness. Never do that, party liners. And there's no reason to either, because Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin combined with laxative senna compound can bring you mild, gentle, effective help without stress or strain or harsh after effects. You see, here's a different kind of help. A liquid laxative made with remarkable vegetable ingredients that can help you to build regularity. That's the answer to it all, isn't it, party liners? Regularity. When you're regular, then you're on the right track. And when a medicine, because of its mild, gentle action, can promise to help you to build regularity, it certainly is worth getting, isn't it? Well, believe it or not, syrup pepsin costs very little. Ask your own favorite druggist for Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin today. When Laurie heard Christy's voice before on the line, she knew that something was drastically wrong. She decided to call on Christy that evening on the pretext that she had been visiting her mother, who lives just across the street from Christy's home. The two girls are upstairs in Christy's room, and Laurie, the persistent, is saying...
Now, there's no use in your pretending that everything's all right, because I know it isn't. I knew it the minute I heard your voice on the line this afternoon. Now, tell me what the trouble is and hurry up about it, Christy Warren.
Oh, Laurie, I'd just as soon forget the whole thing.
Well, forget after you've told me about it. It isn't fair having secrets from one of your oldest friends. I'll think you've become exclusive and aloof and conceited and everything else just because you've been away from Monticello so long.
Oh, Laurie, don't be silly.
Well, don't you be silly. Don't you know you'll feel better if you tell me about it?
The whole thing is so stupid, it isn't worth talking about.
Oh, you make it seem awfully important by being so stubborn about keeping it to yourself.
Oh, all right, then. It's that David Hunter person.
Yes, I guess that much myself. Now, what's the matter? I thought you two had decided you liked each other.
Do you know why Mr. Hunter called me up and asked me for a date the other day, the day I was at the telephone office talking to you?
Why?
He asked me for a date because that was the penalty for his having lost a game of horseshoes. Isn't that a scream? Isn't that the funniest thing you've ever heard in your life? Couldn't you die laughing?
Oh, Christy, well, what of it?
What of it? Good heavens, Laurie, how can you take it as calmly as that?
Well, I don't see that it's anything so terrible.
It isn't terrible. How would you feel if half the town knew a man had asked you for a date just because he'd lost a game of horseshoes, and he had to call you as a penalty? Imagine.
Oh, I'm sure half the town doesn't know that, Christy, and besides...
You know that if two people know something in this town, everybody knows it in 30 minutes.
Oh, I think you're wrong about that, Christy. I think that only Mr. Peters and Mr. Tuttle probably...
Well, Laurie, you seem to know all about it. This makes it really interesting.
Oh, dear. Oh, why didn't I tell you in the first place, Christy? The whole thing certainly is stupid.
Well, go ahead and tell me the rest. Can't be much worse than what I already know. Was it by any chance published in the Funny Happenings Around Town department in the paper this week?
Oh, please, Christy. I'll tell you what I know about it.
I wish you would.
Well, the other day I happened to be talking to Mr. Peters. I met him down on the square. And he told me that there hadn't been much to do at the shop that day, and he and Mr. Tuttle played a game of horseshoes. And Carlton and David happened to come in, and they joined them.
Isn't that a fascinating sport for the science instructor at the high school, playing horseshoes at the machine shop?
Oh, Christy, surely you couldn't have anything against that. It's good exercise. And I hope you don't look down on a game just because they play it in the machine shop. Why, that place is an institution.
Oh, I know it. I don't mean to say anything about the machine shop. Nobody likes Mr. Peters any better than I do. That isn't the point.
Well, anyway, they'd been playing horseshoes. And David and Carlton were playing against each other. And then they were joking, and Carlton made this agreement with David that he'd have to call you and ask you for a date if he lost the game.
Isn't that charming?
Oh, but don't you see, Christy? It was just because David had been so mad about losing his office. And he'd been talking so much about what a cranky old schoolma'am you must be that, well, that was before he met you.
Meeting me didn't improve matters any. We had a great fight the first time we met each other, other in his office.
Yes, I know, but of course you know that was just because he'd gotten the wrong impression in the first place.
You don't mean to tell me you can defend this cute little stunt of making me the object of a joke like that?
I'm sure Carlton didn't mean it that way at all. It was just in fun.
I suppose you'd think it was fun if you were in my place.
Oh, maybe I wouldn't, Christy. But when it all turned out so nicely, you found out that David was really a charming person and... He obviously was terribly much interested in you.
Oh, of course. Terribly interested in me. That's why he called me up, of course, because he was so fascinated, wasn't it?
Well, he asked you for another date. That certainly ought to prove that he was interested in you.
What it probably proves is that he had another bet on with Mr. whatever his name is.
Carlton Ross? He's an awfully nice person, too.
Yes, I imagine. Although I don't blame him as much as I blame Mr. Hunter. After all, Mr. Hunter knew me and Mr. Ross didn't. Oh, dear. Let's forget about it and talk about something pleasant.
I'm the one to blame for the whole thing, Christy.
You are? Good heavens, why?
Because I knew about it that night David called you up and I didn't tell you.
You knew about it?
Yes. You see, I met Mr. Peters the same day that it happened. I mean, that the horseshoe game happened. And that's how he came to tell me. And when David called you, I know I should have told you, but somehow I... Oh, I wish you'd try to look at it differently, Christy.
I have tried to. It isn't any use.
You did like David, didn't you?
Well,
be honest now.
Oh, I thought he was really very nice when he tried to be.
You wouldn't have accepted another engagement with him if you hadn't enjoyed his company.
No, of course not.
And you can be sure he wouldn't have asked you for another date if he hadn't enjoyed your company.
That's one thing you couldn't convince me about. Not after that horseshoe game.
You don't mean to tell me that you're going to be obstinate and refuse to have anything more to do with David just because of that one foolish little prank.
I'm going out of my way to keep out of Mr. Hunter's way from now on. I can tell you that, Laurie. And nothing you say will change my mind about that.
Across town at Clem and Aggie's house is a sad and serious conference. Quite unlike the usual happy gatherings of Sarah, Aggie, Clem, and Curly around the kitchen table, they're considering the weighty and unhappy problem of Christy Warren's outraged pride. Clem and Curly, absolutely stumped for once, have brought the problem to Sarah and Aggie for the benefit of their feminine advice and intuition.
Dear me. What do you say, Sarah?
Well, goodness, I wish I knew what to say.
I don't know what it'd be better for us to all just keep our fingers out of this pie.
Oh, Clem, I tell you, I won't rest peaceful until I do something to make up for that awful mess I've made of things.
Now, Curly, you mustn't blame yourself too much.
That's what I say, Curly. It's too bad, but You were sure not acting in malice before, Thor.
Oh, no, I wasn't, Agatha. But it comes out just the same as if I was. There's that poor little girl sitting at home as mad and as unhappy as she can be, and I suppose by now she's called off her date with David, and he's sitting over to Wintergreen's feeling as blue as only a young man could feel that's had his heart broke.
Now, wait a minute. Don't throw these hearts around so fast and furious, Curly. After all, them two young folks hardly knew each other.
I know, Clem, but they was getting along so nice, and oh, well, then I had to go and throw the fly into the ointment.
Just give us time. We'll have the fly out of there before anybody knows what's happened.
Siri, I've been trying to put myself in her shoes.
Yes, so have I, Aggie.
I don't know, but what you'd be a little outsized for her shoes, Sarah, girl.
Clem, this is hardly the time for jokes.
Right you are, my dear. Right you are.
The way I look at it, the best thing is for Curly to go to that poor child and ask her to think this over, for his sake.
Well, but she don't want to do anything for his sake, Mama.
I don't mean David. I mean for your sake, Curly.
For my sake, Mama? Well, I'm not the fella in this case.
Well, you're certainly the fella that started the trouble. Oh. If you excuse me for saying so.
Huh. Well, that's all right, Mama. No more than I got coming to me.
What I think you'd better do, Curly, is to go see Christy. Tell her just how you feel. And ask if she won't just think things over for your sake. Tell her how unhappy you've been ever since this happened. And tell her that she'll be taking a load off of your conscience if she'll just give David another chance.
Why, Sarah, I believe there's something to that idea.
Don't sound so crazy to me.
Well, Mama, I'll do anything you say. And after this, I'll go around with my mouth closed. I'm never going to talk about anything again, except the weather.
That's a grim resolution, Curly. And it ought to be interesting to see just how much headway Curly can make in persuading Christy to change her mind about David. Partyliners over 50, here is new hope for you. If you're troubled with a condition of sluggishness and have tried many kinds of medicines and found them to be harsh and bad tasting, and if they sometimes leave you feeling even worse than before, then please try Dr. Caldwell's Syrup Pepsin combined with laxative center compound tonight. I promise you'll find that Syrup Pepsin is really different. And I say it with the positive guarantee of refunding the full price you paid for Syrup Pepsin if it isn't true. If you don't agree that it's the finest laxative you've ever tried, simply take the unused portion of Syrup Pepsin back to your druggist and he will refund every single cent you paid for it. Try it, won't you, Partyliners? You can prove to yourself what a remarkable medicine it is only by getting a bottle of Syrup Pepsin at your druggist today. Dr. Caldwell's Syrup Pepsin. It's spelled S-Y-R-U-P, Syrup, P-E-P-S-I-N, Pepsin. Syrup Pepsin. Remember, Partyliners, that tomorrow, Curly musters all his forces of gentle and desperate persuasion in talking to Christy Warren. See you tomorrow on the Party Line.